Thank you. I guess to start off today, we're going to have a speaker by Brady Ryrie. He is currently the student body president here at BYU-Idaho and an avid sports fan, from what I understand. Followed by Brady, we will have a special musical number, I Believe in Christ. And then after that, Brother Tustin will actually speak to us. Give you a little bit of introduction for Brother Tustin. He graduated from BYU-Idaho in recreational leadership. His wife Brenda and himself have 5 children, 4 boys, and recently just added a little girl to the family. He's currently the recreational sports advisor, so if you ever have any recreational sports needs, he's the man you talk to. And then once he's finished speaking, we will close this meeting with a prayer by Kayla Ellis. So, Brady.
So I'm still trying to figure out how I got chosen to speak here, but I'm grateful for the opportunity. Like it was mentioned, my name's Brady Ryrie, and I'm here studying business finance. I love the school, and recently I've thought a lot about change. What happens as one person changes and becomes another person. So evolution is a word that derives from that. Evolution is something that has taken place from the beginning of time, but it's part of God's plan. We change and grow and evolve into who He would have us be. When mentioned, the word evolve often provokes a thought of apes and other archaic animals one learns about in science. On the other hand, the word evolve is what BYU-Idaho has been doing all along. Yes, the change that we go through as a university is protracted, but it lasts a lifetime. Where we are as a campus is great, but where we are going is magnificent. The Student Representative Council, or to be more laconic, the SRC, the Activities Program, and many other divinely led programs have been established to facilitate that change from great to remarkable. The way that we do this is through you. For example, inside of the SRC, we serve as conduits, which facilitate the meaningful communication between the students and administration, letting both voices be heard. As an activities program, you are taught to be leaders by choosing your own level of participation. More often than not, a problem is brought to our attention through you, which evolves into a change that alters the way this university functions. As students, you not only get your voices to be heard, but you get to participate in the evolution that takes place in this university. A few examples of campus-wide changes that have occurred are the transformation of turning the school into a four-year university, 10-minute parking in drop-off zones, the laptop initiative, and the two-track system, where a student attends 2 out of the 3 semesters. Now, these are all changes that have taken place recently in the last couple of years. Elder Bednar has said, the creation of BYU-Idaho is one of the most important educational events of the Restoration. The lessons that are being learned and will be learned on this campus will influence members and non-members all over the world. It is an honor to stand before you today knowing that the future of this university falls in your hands. But I must warn you, what you put in is what you get out. The concept of self-dedication has been with me my whole life. Early on, I've learned that what I put in, I get out. That includes academics, relationships, spirituality, and athletics. I must put in what I get out. BYU-Idaho is much of the same. Upon arriving to school, I got involved with the soccer program, which then led to me being involved in a committee in the SRC, and has now led to being the student body president. I felt that the more I've dedicated to the school, the more I've been able to give back. I promise you the same. The opportunity to be at this university when so many people around the world cannot comes as a blessing that we should cherish. Soon you too, if you haven't already been able to, see the amazing things that take place, and hopefully you'll be a part of them. I would invite you to not only be a respectable person while attending, but an exceptional one. As I mentioned before, evolution takes place over time. However, this evolution derives from you as leaders. Enjoy your time at BYU-Idaho. Participate and get involved. Get involved with the revolution that we do as a university, as an activities program, as an SRC. When you see something that needs changing, do what you can to change it. And when you need help, ask. Let us be that conduit. We can help. I am positive that this will be one of the most happiest, most uplifting times of your life. Enjoy the spirit saturated so heavily throughout the campus. It is apparent, and it will bless your life if you let it. The activities program as a whole helps build you as leaders. It helps you to get out of your shell, and it helps you to lead others that encircle your lives. I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate in the activities program, for the opportunity to work alongside other people and to help cultivate my leadership abilities. We are taught many things as we serve here and as we participate as students. I have a testimony of the gospel. I know that it is very real. I know that the gospel teaches us individual things at individual moments as we go through different experiences in our lives. Let this opportunity to be here at this university bless your life. Let it bless your life as you get closer to Jesus Christ. I say the saints in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you. That calmed my nerves a little bit. All right. Well, good morning. My name is Trent Tushin. I'm in the same boat as our student body president. Still trying to figure out why I'm standing here. But I love sports, and I think we'll have a great time this morning. I'm a very hands kind of guy, so hopefully with that and interaction, we'll keep everybody awake this morning. Thank you for those that have come. Like I said, we're really excited to have the new addition to the family. Little Tori, she's going to be spoiled. She's the only one, so we're excited. Well, this morning, I'll give you a little idea of how my last week has gone. I found out a week ago that I was going to make some remarks here with you guys this morning, and instantly things started coming. It was a neat experience over Memorial Weekend, went up to Canada and visited family and got back yesterday and nothing felt right that I had been preparing. So last night went a different direction just for you this morning. So I'm really excited for the change. It feels really good. So I obviously want to invite the Spirit to be with us this morning and hope that we can learn through that Spirit and teach each other. I am going to be asking for some input. So we'll have some traveling mics in a little bit to get some feedback from you, okay? My talk and thoughts this morning it's going to be along the lines of unity. And we have a lot of unity in a lot of different places. We're going to talk some about campus, but specifically for you guys and the unity that you have on your teams and in whatever else you're doing. But by show of hands, we got a little bit more coming in over here on this side, but on the show of hands, how many are involved in competitive sports? Show of hands. That's what I thought. Okay. How many are involved in recreational sports? Okay. Same back and forth. Okay. How many just in recreational sports? Two. Hey. Okay, so that kind of leads me into my next part of the discussion. Actually, before I go there, how many officials are here? Officials? Ooh, we're missing some officials. Okay. They worked late last night, so. So that's kind of what I want to lead into. It's really neat. It's great. But what is this called? The sports morning side, right? And it's led up to this. It started out as a competitive sports morning side, but now we're going to more of a sports morning side. And this is the unity that I'm talking about. This is one part of it. So, with the unity, it's the spirit of unity, and that's kind of, we'll get into the spirit of unity portion of it in a minute. But we're missing some people. We're missing some key leaders. We're missing some key participants that are involved across sports activities and to be able to come together for a greater cause. I just quickly want to read, unless somebody wants to share their thoughts of what the sports mission statement is. Does anybody want to be brave enough to share what the sports mission statement is? Okay, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Sports activities provides opportunities for participants to grow physically, spiritually, emotionally, and socially within a framework of competition and fellowship. So are we achieving that? These are just to ask yourself. Are you achieving that? We have direction. We have a vision of objectives that we want to accomplish. Are we achieving that? Is it just about playing? Is it just about having a good time or competing at the highest level that you can? No, that's part of it, but it's not the whole picture. So we know from experience that joy comes when we are blessed with unity. We yearn as spirit children of our Heavenly Father for that joy which we once had with Him in the life before this one. His desire is to grant us that sacred wish for unity out of His love for us. He cannot grant it to us as individuals. The joy of unity He wants so much to give us is not solitary. We must seek it and qualify for it with others. It is not surprising then that God urges us to gather so He can bless us. He wants us to gather into families. He has established classes, wards, branches, and commanded us to meet together often. In those gatherings, which God has designed for us, lies our great opportunity. We can pray and work for the unity that will bring us joy and multiply our power to serve. It's a quote by Elder Eyring. So, with that quote, I have an experience I want to share. So, it's all relating to the spirit of unity, okay? So there's different ways that unity takes place, but the power comes when we work together. So I want to share an experience that it's a personal experience, and not a lot of people know about it, but when I was 10 years old, I am from Canada, back on the East Coast, and back there, anyway, I was mowing the lawn on this old, back then it was, I guess, state-of-the-art, riding lawnmower. It's one of those hard-wheeled, no air in the tire, just bumpy, hard rubber, that type. But it was cool. You know, it was orange. And anyway, that's all I remember. I was mowing the lawn one day, and I was in the backyard behind the house mowing the lawn, and my brother's friend was over visiting, and he wanted to cut the lawn, mow the grass. And I'm like, okay, go ask my father. And so he went and did, and he came out, he's like, yeah, no problem. But he was so anxious to get on the machine, I barely had time to put it into neutral, because on this tractor, it was between the legs. Now they're on the side, well, for obvious reason. It was between the legs, and I was just putting it into neutral, and stepping off the side like this, you know, kind of like getting on a horse, like that. Well, he was so excited to get on, he kicked his leg through it and kicked it into drive. And he went forward, still not seated on the machine. And he was heading towards some bushes, and I had fallen off and fell on my hands and backside. It happened so quickly, but because he was heading toward the bushes, he didn't want to run over them, right? My mom would have just went nuts. And so he didn't know how to drive the machine. So he quickly jammed it into reverse so he wouldn't hit it and backed right over one of my feet. And my foot went under all the way up to my knee. And part of my shoe went this way and instant numbness set in, which is good. Won't lie. The body's a miracle, and that's another discussion. But with that came instant fear, and I was alone, and I felt it. And I was only 10, and all I remember is he somehow shut the machine off. Screaming took place. Others came out. And all I remember is taking my other foot that was free and pulling myself out of there. Nobody was there yet. And as I pulled out, well, as you can imagine, it looked like my shin bone was sticking out. But it wasn't. I know we're early. We haven't eaten breakfast, right? So we're good. So it was that graphic. I mean, the skin down on my heel, it was the inside of my left heel, was rolled up in a way that it looked like it. And so when my mother came out, oh, well, that just added more screams to the neighborhood. And that's what she thought after discussing it with her later. And it just looked like that. And so I just pulled it out, and it went up to my knee. I didn't pay any attention of that. We quickly got into the car. The ambulance would have taken too long. We were in the city, bigger city up in Canada. And so we headed out to the hospital. We had a plate. In the stress of things, they grabbed a plate. Still don't understand that with all the blood, but they did grab a towel, so that was good. And we wrapped it up so we didn't have to see it. But I share this story, and I'll get into a little bit more, but remember the unity part of it. I was very alone. I felt alone. And then when my parents finally got to me, I felt that reassurance. And it takes me back to Joseph Smith when he had his surgery. Do you know what I'm talking about? With his bone, his leg. And all he wanted was his father. He said, all I need is my father to hold me. And I felt that at that instant. It was having that. My parents there, and so I finally got that, and they calmed me down, and we were on our way. And it was funny because I was more calm than my mother at that point. So we got to the hospital, and in Canada the healthcare system's a little different. It's free, but it's different. And so I got to the hospital. I'm waiting. I waited hours, actually. They did clean it up, spray the grass out of it the best they could. Had the flap of skin. I got to see it. I mean, it wasn't hurting at that point. The numbness was there. They took care of it that way. But after we went through the surgery, had a skin graft on my inner thigh, put it down on, I lost the piece of skin. They couldn't save it. It was only attached by like an eighth of an inch type piece of skin. But after the surgery, doctors came back in with my parents and family that were there. And obviously the news was not great. And it's hard. I was 10. I had my whole life in front of me. And from the sports perspective, you guys can sympathize a little bit. I was told I would never participate in sport activities. And I was a hockey player at the time, too. I'd have to wear special shoes. I would have a lot of therapy to walk correctly again. I basically have to start over with that foot. And they were bluntly honest. And, well, I'm just, as you're thinking, you're like, whoa, what do? I was very passionate. I was just getting into basketball and all the sports. And I was actually, we were coming up to it was right at the end of summer, so we were just about to start hockey season. You hockey players that are here, you know, we love our hockey up in Canada. And so I was just beside myself. I didn't really at this point care about the playing sports. It was walking right and special shoes and that type of a thing. And then the next day, the plastic surgeon came in again, because talking about the graft, or a couple days later, the graft of skin they put on wasn't taking, and usually you'll start seeing pink, but it was turning black, and they'd come in and unwrap it and wrap. Well, it got to the point where they wouldn't let me see anymore, because it was just draining, and so my parent parents, we called a fast, a family fast. And this is where the unity comes in. My family rallied around, and I, because of this, created an early, early testimony of fasting and prayer. And it was amazing how quickly things took place in the family. This happened on a Thursday, I think. On that Sunday was the family fast. And Sunday afternoon, the doctors came back in and opened it up, and there was a pink spot right on the ball of the joint in the middle of the, on the heel. And so with that unity, it was just, that's where it started. Because I felt that from my family and friends, it created a domino effect of what I had to go through from then on. And I, because of that, I forced myself to fight back, to go on, to press hard, to do all I could to get as close to sports as I could again. Well, to not drag it on, I went through physical therapy. The skin graft took, and it was funny because after that, where they took the skin from on my inner thigh was actually more painful than where they put it on my foot. So anybody that's gone through skin graft replacement, it's more painful where they took it from. So with all that, you can imagine the days. And I know that some of you, because I know some of you that have some similar trials in a little bit, it's difficult. And especially that young, I really wanted to play sports again. Hockey season was coming up. So the healing process was taking place. I felt the love of those around me. My family rallied around me. They were there almost every day coming to the hospital. I was in the hospital for a month and a half. I had 7 roommates. And 2 of them had cancer and they beat me out of there. I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, what's the trick? Anyway, so because of that and talking to those kids that came in with no hair and were leaving with spurts of hair coming out, that made me get up every day and push myself and walk and get on my feet again. And I was in a wheelchair after I left the hospital for about 3 months in elementary school. I mean, we have a hard, tough time at school, right? Not being made fun of or ridiculed. But there as well, I felt the unity from my classmates. I still remember they really thought it was fun to push me down a little cement slope in the wheelchair backwards because the wheels were bigger and spin, which it was fun after I went down the first time. But I felt that from my classmates and the whole school, actually. And then I was in crutches for another month. And so it was a long process. But to make the story, I'll wrap it up. I was able to play hockey that winter. I couldn't start at the beginning of the season. I had to get a little bit bigger skates because of the rubbing that takes place. I had to put extra gauze padding down there. And after every game, it would scrape away the skin graft that was taking place. But I knew if I didn't do it, and I would never get back to hockey. So I had to give up a little to get the bigger picture. But the love and the support that I got from home was what made it happen. And obviously the prayers and fasting. So I don't bring that up to get sympathy or anything. I walk fine. Nobody knows that I have it. But it's all through that power and love that came. Another quote here. Just before the Savior carried out the atonement, he prayed for his disciples, whom he had sent into the world to teach the gospel. He also prayed for those who would believe in him because of his disciples' words. He pled for unity, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. From this prayer we learn how the gospel unites us with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, and with each other. When we live the gospel, receiving the saving ordinances and keeping our covenants, our natures are changed. The Savior's atonement sanctifies us, and we can live in unity, enjoying peace in this life and preparing to dwell with Heavenly Father and His Son forever. So that I went through that experience too during that difficult time. I really, really had an early start of developing that with that relationship with my Heavenly Father. I learned the power and importance of prayer. I would do it every day, many times, to get through it. And I really know through the atonement that what my Savior went through for me to help me through that, both physically and spiritually and emotionally. The Lord has said, if you're not one, you're not of mine. Yeah, it's quoted from D&C 30, Doctrine and Covenants 38:27. We can seek and promote His standard of unity in our families and in the church. If we are married, we and our spouse can be united in purpose and action. We can allow our unique qualities to complement one another as we face challenges together and grow in love and understanding. We can also be united with other family members, with members of the church by serving together, teaching one another, and encouraging one another. We can become one with the president of the church and other church leaders as we study their words and follow their counsel. We have great opportunities to lead here on this campus. Are we really listening to those leaders? Are we listening to our peer leaders? That's probably the most, that's the key. Yes, we listen to the adult leaders and advisors, but do we really listen to you as leaders and each other the same age? You get what I'm getting at? You guys hold such a power and are learning how to be disciple leaders that you should really listen to each other. The unity that will come from you listening to the coordinator of your sport, to your coach, to the captain of a team, really listen. Get past the age barrier. You guys do it in your wards. Why can't we do it on the field and on the court? That's what I want to get to now. Now I want to talk about the unity within your team. Do you guys feel that? What those mics that are around? I think this is our wake up call. Walk right through here. With your teams, this is what I want to know. What is the unity that is taking place with your teams? What are you doing as a team to create unity? What's this unity that? What do you have any? Should I ask that, Brother Schiffen? Okay, in the back. There's the mic coming around so we can hear you. And I want be honest. I want to know how you're getting this unity as a team. Hello, what's your name? Okay. Stand up, please. We can't see. And your sport, sorry.
I play volleyball. I'm on Jason's team.
Wonderful.
And we're all sitting together to be unified.
Thank you.
And we have a pizza party.
And a what?
A pizza party.
After with all of us? Cool. So great. You guys are a team. You guys planned it. You guys came together. There's great unity. But what about on the court? What about in action? What's the unity that takes place? Come on, coaches. This is your time to lead out. I'm going to start asking. I don't want to act upon you. Go ahead. So stand up. State your name and what sport you're doing. That's okay. Okay. Okay, great. So you're getting that. Okay, anybody? Go ahead.
My name is Brandon. I'm playing baseball.
Okay, great. Thank you. Positive attitude. No job's too small. Everything is important. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead.
One of the things that we do on basketball is Zach's actually a perfect example. We keep each other pumped up and we whip each other up. We never say something mean about each other. We're always helping each other up. If someone does something wrong, it's not, oh, you did that wrong. It's, well, here's what you can do better next time. We're always helping each other up. We're never trying to put each other down. We're just lifting one another up. And there's a lot of unity on our team. There's a lot of trying to help each other out. A lot of love you can receive from watching that.
Okay, great. Perfect. So you just stated another thing is love. Okay. I'm just kind of sharing some of the points you're bringing up. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So you talked about sportsmanship, getting along with the other team, right? Go ahead. Thank you. An incentive program. All right. Perfect. Last one. There you go. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Not just here, it's outside as well. The friendships go on past here. Okay, thanks. I think that's all the time we have for that. So good. You guys identified some things that create the unity. Now I want to revert back to the comments I made about the unity we have with our Savior, right? Creating that bond and that relationship. So what you guys are doing with your teams, in essence, you're fulfilling what has been asked by our Savior and our Heavenly Father. Now, with the unity and those friendships and relationships, is it about winning? I hope not. It's a great byproduct, right? But it's the unity that comes will prepare us for when we leave here. So the unity I'm talking about is, after we leave here, what's the most important thing that's going to happen? Our families. What the relationships and the unity that comes with our families and those our friends after we leave here, and take what we've learned and use it in the real life experience. So how do we use what we learn here outside? Well, we can use it in our communities, our wards, just like what was mentioned, our branches, our families at family reunions, right? So we need to keep on what we learn, not just learn it and keep it in a can and put it on the shelf and say, that was my 4 years at BYU Idaho. No, the point is, as a disciple leader, is to learn it and apply it. Don't let it sit. Don't hold the talent to yourself. You've been blessed with the extra talent. Now it's time for you to share the talent. Remember the scripture? Share what you learn. He's blessed us with additional talents. And we want you to keep going and share it. You guys are the future leaders. And you've already started being leaders in your wards and here. (Clears throat) And then in, I'm going to read a scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 38:27. Behold, this I have given unto you as a parable, and it is even as I am. I say unto you, be one, and if ye are not one, ye are not mine. Now, that goes many different ways. We need to be one with our Savior, one with Christ, one with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, because without the Holy Ghost, it's hard to learn. It's hard to teach. It's hard to be unified as a team. It's hard to be in your apartments with roommates that have special, unique interests and talents, right? You know, yeah, you have them, don't you? I had them. Not anymore. I got a good roommate. But being one. So what we learn here, take it to your apartments. How do you get past the obstacles? Relate it. Relate it in real life. Don't be afraid to talk to them and to unite and be one with them. You guys can have the best experience in your apartments. I had the most fun. First couple of semesters were a little challenging, but once you get here and learn the processes of how to become and communicate, and you're past the high school stage, right? It's wonderful. Okay, the joy of unity that he wants so much to give us is not, oh, I've already read that one, I'm sorry. Is not solitary. We must seek it in quality. Oh, I read that one, sorry. Are our hearts knitted together? Just think about that. Are our hearts knitted together in the gospel, in our families, in our team, in our apartments? Are they knitted together? Do we have the same vision and end goal? Are we united as sports activities? Are we united as activities? Are we united as BYU Idaho and as church members? I think once we get to the farther ones, it's pretty easy to say, but are we united as the baseball league? Are we united as basketball? Are we united as officials? Now, that brings me to my last point. Are we united? Are we one? Do we have unity with our officials? Right? I'll be honest, I get a lot of emails from the recreational side about officials. Do we, as sports activities, are we united? Are we one? Or are we leaving one to the side over here? Usually officials, right? Well, they're a part of us. They are learning. They are the judge, right? Nobody likes to be the judge, but they're the judge. Are we one with them? Our officials that are here, there's maybe they don't want to raise their hand anymore. But do they feel one with us? They should. We're a team of different levels of sports activities. So that's my challenge too, is to get outside of your comfort zone of your sport. Meet others, mingle with others. That's great that you're sitting as teams, but now let's unite as sports activities, as activities outside of here. As we develop confidence in ourselves and strong testimonies of the Savior, we add a special spirit of unity and happiness to our families and have strength to resist the pressures of the world. The more we and our siblings/children are committed to living gospel principles, the greater the opportunity for the spirit of unity and love to reside in our homes, our apartments, in our classes, and in our wards. Right? As we consider the unity required for Zion to flourish, we should ask ourselves, if we have overcome jarrings, contentions, envyings, and strifes, we should ask ourselves if we have overcome them, what is the thing that will stop the spirit of unity? It's pride. And these things. Selfishness. We've got to forget ourselves. To become united is one or more people, right? Well, you can't do it on your own. So we've got to get past ourselves to have that power and joy that comes from the spirit of unity. When we share our time, talents, and possessions with others, we develop a spirit of unity. Paul described this unity when he said that the new members of the church were no longer to be strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints. So remember that as the spirit of unity as well. Our new members. We don't know who are new members of the church initially. We don't know who are non-members on this campus. We love everybody. We want everybody to be a part of it. But and new participants in sports activities. Where's the arm of fellowship? Is it about, oh, we're going to beat you this year? Well, that's good and dandy, I guess, but it's not really about that. It's about bringing them in and letting them feel that love and joy that comes from participating. Well, I just want to close with a little quote here. It's from Ezra Taft Benson. And he says, quote, "Athletics are explosive, as any of us know who have participated in them. Athletes make every effort to win. The problem, therefore, is to do everything that is fair and honorable to win, and also to know the line where sportsmanship stops and mockery starts. Stop short of winning if integrity is to be impaired. Sportsmanship is the spirituality in athletics." So I'm just touching on sportsmanship because that is what determines that unity as well. One little instance of sportsmanship issues takes away the spirit, which takes away that spirit of unity. So remember that quote. And one more thing, I always like to read, or get, we always like as advisors and as you leave here to get some feedback. We want to know how it's going. We want to know the experience that you had here and how it relates to life when you leave here. And I'm going to share this, and I never asked for permission, but I'm going to. I'll just skip names. I just wanted to say that I'm getting very excited to return to the office. Now, this is a student that left and is coming back. This person left for some medical reasons. So she was gone a while. After working in many different offices, it is so wonderful to be able to work in an environment that I feel comfortable in. The office I am in now is always filled with colorful language and a love for the almighty dollar. I really miss everything that the program stands for. In your next weekly meeting, remind everyone how lucky and blessed they are to be in such a wonderful place. It is a place that truly understands priorities and treats everyone with respect. I work directly under the CEO and CFO here at this company, and as great as both as they both are, and all the executives here, it is just very different. I don't mind doing things for people, you know that, but it's different when it never feels appreciated. I've learned by being away from the office and here on campus how truly great it is and how much I took for granted. So I read that, meaning she felt that unity, that love. And we're going to be challenged when we leave here. It's going to happen. People don't work the same way we do here. But you can take that to them. You can share that special thing that happens on this place, right? You can't explain it. But you can take it and live it and be the example. And so my challenge to you today is to work on the relationships here, develop yourself with the spirit of unity, and cultivate those relationships. But don't forget the talents that you're learning to go and build the kingdom when you leave here. Share what you learned, be the example, and stand up. It's not time to just live it. We've heard it, right? It's time to live it, show it, and make statements, right, in love. I share my testimony and bear it. I know the church is true. We're at a special place. We're all here for a reason right now. I love the gospel with all my heart. I love the scriptures. I know they're true. I've read them, and I've asked for my witness. I know that as we go through our experience here, and we'll leave with a stronger testimony, with a desire to serve and be a part of the Lord's work. But we have to put forth the effort to make things roll, to get things started. Thanks. I'm really grateful for this opportunity to come and visit with you this morning, and hope we'll leave edified and then uplifted a little bit, and that we'll always remember those around us. We don't know everybody's situation and what's going on in their lives. And I share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.